for DJ Levy Mobile.
Doing out and about, my man. KN4VWA.
See dark clouds over Greer. I mean, they're dark and they're low and they're moving fast. They're headed your way. I'm out cloud observing. Not really. I gotta go pick up some chairs I took up to the upholsterer man. He's got them ready. I gotta go pick them up. What are you doing?
Would send those clouds my way. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. No, I finally got a little bit of time. We put in an offer on a house. Or rather, I helped my daughter put in an offer on a house. Did that this morning, and I have got free time since my wife has gone down to Greer to get her toes and her nails done. So I'm in my man cave working on that little plane. I'm going to try to finally finish it. Hey, what's the weather supposed to do tomorrow?
If there's clouds your way, so you'd have something to poke holes in. Anyway, they're low and they're dark. I don't know what the weather's going to do tomorrow. I haven't looked at it. I've been busy in the stock market and my head buried under those things. I also pulled the plans out and the box of parts for the Telemaster to see what it's going to take to finish that up. They were all cut up into pieces of the plans. I'm going to have to figure out, like, put it together like a jigsaw puzzle and tape it all back together to finish putting it together. So you're working on the pipe. I'm working on the Telemaster Senior. I've already got a 90 for it, 90-size motor. I got some good batteries, good 6S batteries, and I've got to get a speed controller and be ready to put that thing together and see what the autonomic function is like with it. It's not going to be a fast airplane like the Tiger Stick.
And on that 85, something like that. And, goodness gracious. Sheesh, what does that take, an 80 amp?
80 or a 90 amp. I've got a 90 amp on that Tiger Stick. I figure I'd just put another one just like it on it. Those speed controllers come with a Bluetooth, built-in Bluetooth capability. So you can set their braking and their timing and all kinds of things you can set via your smartphone. You just put this little Bluetooth dongle in between it and the receiver, and it gives you the ability to program it right there with that wire.
Hey, what was that? Did you hear that? 103.5.
I didn't hear anything except dead air. I mean, not even dead air. I heard nothing whatsoever. The repeater wasn't up. Are you hearing somebody on reverse?
Like an automated voice. Okay. Well, I got a really, really good antenna, and it's up at about 30-something feet, so maybe I just heard something where you couldn't. What was the question again?
It's tail, so the repeater's working fine. That could be another repeater, too, because of the way the weather's doing right now. You could have heard the output of another repeater from a long ways away. But a Castle 90-amp speed controller on a 90-size electric motor to haul that 80-inch Telemaster up into the sky. I think that'll work. I think I got all the components I need. Might have to get a couple more servos. I don't know. We'll see.
That's going to take a little bit bigger than 9 grams.
Be something like 80-inch ounces of torque to move that big airplane around.
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm going to see what I can do about getting this little biplane finished and see if I can't get it up in the air. I've got a receiver in there ready to go, but it's kind of a waste on that little airplane. I hate to say it, but I've got that Spectrum radio sitting around, and I've got a Spectrum receiver. You know, just throw that in there to see how it's going to do, right off the bat.
Well, those R9 receivers or something, you got two of them, like I got R6 or something like that.
6R, yeah, that's it. And I put one of them in my Muddy Wonder, and I was going to put the other one. I guess I'll just go ahead and put that other one in the biplane. But that's a scam call. I got a program on my phone that kind of blocks off scam calls. It's kind of handy.
I don't have one. I don't get that many though. But sometimes I get more on the landline than I get on the cell phone.
Landline?
Well, when that's how you make your livelihood, yeah, kind of have to have it. Need it for speed and all that stuff.
ESL?
It's something like that. There's no more really analog landlines left. It's all digital now, but they call it, it's the replacement for landline. It's digital, but it's using my landline phone number, and there's no wireless stuff in it. It's all copper.
AT&T.
Affirmative.
What kind of speed you getting out of that?
It's the backup, so I'm getting whatever the default is. Nothing special. Look, I got a gigabit on the cable.
Well, have you heard the claims now that AT&T's got the fiber optic at 100 gig?
Very nice. And to have the price come down at the same time. I'm pulling in the upholstery man's shop, so I'll see you when I get out. I got to load up some chairs. KM4VWA W4DJW.
Just don't strain anything, big guy. Later on, 73's KM4VWA clear.
WHM N0TR.
K1CJW. KO4NUE. K1CJW. KO4NUE. K1CJW. This is KO4NUE. K1CKO4NUE. K1CJW, this is KO4NUE.
K1CJW.
Hey, Roland. This is Chad. How are you doing, sir? I hope you got my message on repeater last night. If you did not, I'm just going to call and check in. And let you know, I made it to Normandy. And, today I went and got to see the beaches. And, Roland, this is a different kind of place. It's just a different kind of place. I don't understand how anybody can go through that. It was very respectful, but, my goodness. I just absolutely could not imagine. And, well, anyway, let me back up. Did you get my message last night?
Remember when I was young, when they landed in Normandy, of course it was June the 6th, 1944. My father heard it on the radio. Of course, in them days, there was no such thing as television. And he was so happy about it, he was jumping up and down. And I think I had just came home from school when he heard it, and I couldn't figure out what in the world, why is he dancing on the kitchen floor? But that's how happy he was, because in them days, all the news about World War II in Europe was all bad. And the American people were sure glad about it very much. And I can remember that day like as if it happened yesterday. Let me see. I was 16 years old when that happened. And it changed the attitude of every American in this country. And I do know a lot of people died that day, but it was something that had to be done. And hoping we never have to do that again. And how in the world are you calling me from France? How are you accomplishing that, K1CJW?
Well, Roland, this is KO4NUE and K1CJW. Well, Roland, I'm using Echolink. You remember we talked about Echolink a couple of weeks ago? And, well, this is kind of what it can be used for. And, so think of it like this. It don't matter. I'm talking to you, and I guess that's all that matters. But, today I went to, oh my goodness, St. Mary Gleese, St. Lo, and I went to Utah and got to see all of the beaches that our guys, you know, came into France. And I, being a veteran, I just there I don't think there's any words to describe that. No way. I could not imagine being on one of those boats and having to deal with what I saw today. I don't think there would be any way to even describe that whole situation. But we hired a guy that is a retired military from the British Army. And he gave us the tour of the American, you know, what the Americans went through. And we went all over the countryside and all to all of the beaches. And we went to one little church in St. Mary Gleese that's just out in the middle of nowhere. And you got to see where two United States medics set up an aid station in the middle of, at the beginning of the invasion. And they took in American soldiers and German soldiers in this small church and was treating them. And the German soldiers would bring their wounded there, and then on the back door, the Americans would bring their wounded there, and they were both paratroopers. They were 19 years old, both of them. And mercy, it's just hard to explain, Roland. I don't know what to say. And I just wanted to call and tell you, I know you weren't in Normandy, but until today, I never understood why your generation was called the greatest generation. But after today, I fully understand. I still cannot wrap my hands around everything I saw today. It's just just very difficult to describe. KO4NUE.
At the St. Mary Glees, that's French for St. Mary's Church. And if I remember right, St. Mary Glees was the first city in France that was liberated by the Americans. And it was liberated by paratroopers. I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. But it was a day that was unbelievable. The newspapers, if you could see the headlines, what the newspapers had, it was unreal, and the American people were dancing up and down in the streets. I know my father was dancing in the kitchen, and I never saw him dance in his life except for one more time before that, which was the day when we found out that the Americans had sunk four Japanese aircraft carriers from the Battle of Midway. And every time we had some good news, he'd be going into a dance. Also, in them days, the front page of the local newspaper had a map of Europe, and all the section that was controlled by Germany was black. And all of Europe was just about covered with black, except for Spain and Switzerland. And June the 6th, that black kept shrinking and shrinking. And you would take the newspaper, cut it out, and pin it on a wall, and you could see that the black was getting smaller and smaller. And that's when you could tell exactly where the Germans' line were. But that was the only way you could basically check on it. There was no TV in them days. And like I said before, it changed the attitude of everybody. Because in them days, when I was about 15 years old, we used to collect a medal on Saturdays. I was a Boy Scout. We'd collect all the medal and for war effort. K1CJW. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, so at St. Mary Glees, there's a mannequin of a paratrooper that's hung on top of the church, because one of the paratroopers, when he paratrooped in, got hung on the church roof and got hung on the church and couldn't get off, and watched his squad get killed in the parking lot of the church, and couldn't do anything about it, and stayed on top of the church for several hours before the Germans noticed that he played dead to try to stay alive and was trying to get out or off of the roof. And the Germans saw him and took him prisoner. But I can honestly say that I can tell that these people, especially in the community, in the villages, they appreciate what happened. I mean, they understand the sacrifice that was made. They're very respectful. They have, the townspeople have put up a lot of monuments out of their own pockets, still to this day. And, people come and visit it from all different countries, and there's no charge. They don't charge for people to come and visit the monuments. And at the end of the day, we went to the cemetery right in Normandy. And Roland, I never seen anything like that. Our tour guide was telling us. Let me let this repeater cycle. I'll be right back. KO4NUE, K1CJW. The tour guide was telling us that the men who got buried there, when the war was over, the United States planted all the species of grass and trees that are in the cemetery are all American species. There's no French plants there. It's all American. And I just thought that was really neat that, you know, they didn't get to come home. And I guess the United States is doing the best they can do and make sure at least they're surrounded by stuff from home. And that's just really that's really amazing, really. And I'm just still in amazement. I don't know how to describe it. I'm at a loss of words, really. And it's very sad, but at the same time, it is what it is. But you're just overwhelmed with what it took to do that. I don't know if our generation could do that, Roland. KO4NUE, K1CJW.
It's sad to hear that one person by the name of Hitler was basically the cause of all this. How can one person be guilty of killing approximately what they say was 60 million people that died during the Second World War? It is unreal that one individual can have so much power in this world. It's beyond comprehension. Nobody can understand that. I sure cannot. I've been asking that question for years. But I joined the army right when the war was ending, and I put on my application when I joined the army that I could speak French fluently, read and write. So I figured that they would send me to France to be an interpreter, but instead they sent me to Japan. I don't know why, but that's where I wound up anyways. But it was a bad war. It was a war that was required, and it was a war that everybody was in favor of it. Not like the Vietnam War. That was a different, that was a complete different story. But the Second World War was needed because Roosevelt was president then, and he talked into the American people, telling them, he says, if we don't fight the Germans in Europe, we will be fighting them on our own land. And when he made that statement, it changed the feeling of everybody in this country, because some people were against the Second World War, but towards the end, everybody that I know of was for it. 31CJW. Go ahead, Chad.
KO4NUE. So today I went to Omaha Beach, Omaha and Utah, and that was a little bit overwhelming. I got a little overwhelmed for a little bit. Just looking at the lay of the land and looking at what the obstacles were when I, most of them did not make it out of the boats. I think, if I remember correctly, there were over 5,000 casualties, I think, is what he said, on one little stretch of beach. I mean, that's just hard to comprehend. And to be standing right there where all of that happened, I don't know. It was very solemn. And, it was very respectful, but I stood on the beach and looked out across the ocean where they came in, and then turned around and looked on the hill behind me to see all of the fighting positions that the Germans had set up. And mercy, they didn't have a chance. But somehow, you know, on the other beaches, they were able to make a push. But Omaha was the worst. And as soldiers came through other beaches, they circled back around to help the soldiers on Omaha. But I just, my goodness, I still don't know what to think about it, and it may take me a while to figure all that out. KO4NUE.
They're still taking good care of the cemeteries over there. K1KCAW. Hey, Chad, and they're still taking good care of the cemeteries over there.
KO4NUE, K1CJW. Yeah, they are in really good shape. Really cared for. The grass and the trees are just so pretty. And just no trash, no, I mean, it's very nicely done. And we're going to go back tomorrow. We went and saw the cemetery today, but I just was not prepared to go into the cemetery today. I left early because I wanted to, I just was having a hard time taking it all in, and decided the best thing to do is to just kind of quit for the day and try to come back tomorrow and try it.
I know it's something to take very seriously, but that happened 80 years ago, and I'm surprised they still have tours over there. I didn't even know that they had tours. That's something new to me. But I don't know if you've ever seen the Did you ever see the movie The Longest Day? Did you ever see that movie?
No, I have not, but our tour guide mentioned it several times and said that that was a pretty accurate movie of kind of how things happen. But some of the other movies he talked about were not, you know, kind of not so accurate. But Band of Brothers was one that he said was pretty accurate, and The Longest Day. But I've seen Band of Brothers, but have not seen The Longest Day. But I'm gonna watch it next, and you know, just I think he said today there were 25 brothers.
Twenty-five
sets of brothers that were buried in the cemetery there. and that was pretty interesting. And was it Roosevelt's two sons or somebody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Roosevelt had two sons there that died in the war, and they are buried in the cemetery as well. KO4NUE.
Chad, you got to see that movie, The Longest Day. The Longest Day is a very, very good movie. The section that you told me about the individual being stuck on a roof, the paratrooper, it shows that part in the movie where he played dead so that the Germans would not shoot him. And I'm 99% sure that St. Mary Glees was the first city that was liberated. That's why it's so popular. But you must see that movie, The Longest Day. It is a very, very good movie. It is unbelievable. It is so realistic looking at it, you wouldn't believe it. And I'm sure that it's available. When you get back home, you'll be able to find it someplace on the internet. I'm positive of it. It's because they still play it on TV. I seen it maybe just a couple of years ago, and every time I see it, I keep watching it. And I believe they had. I believe I'm right, but it doesn't seem that it's. excuse me. Possible, but I think what they said in that movie, that there was 5,000 ships that were out there in the water waiting to land, and you're right, thousands of them never made it ashore. That is 100% correct. K1CJW. Go look at some other sites, Chad. You're on vacation.
Okay, Roland, well, I'm gonna sign off. I just wanted to touch base with you and just kind of let you know that, you know, I appreciate your service. And after seeing, you know, what these guys went through over here, I just kind of changes my perspective of everything. And had no idea. I mean, I suspected, but when you're standing there on the beach and then 30 minutes later you're standing in the cemetery, oh man, that's just a little bit overwhelming. But at any rate, I'll say 7-3s, and just wanted to call and just let you know, hey, I appreciate you and was just thinking about you. And I'll say 7-3s, and I'll be clear on your final, Roland.
Chad, nice sights also. You're supposed to be on vacation out there. K1CJW is clear. And have a good vacation, Chad.